On the show today, we have CU Strategic Planning's very own Ronaldo Hardy back on the show. And what he is announcing today is that CU Strategic Planning is launching a DEIBA offering to credit unions. And that acronym obviously stands for Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging and Accessibility, the latter two letters there. So Ronaldo's here to explain it and teach us and educate us and then tell us about their new DEIBA Institute as well for credit union boards. So a lot of stuff going on here with this interview. Hope you guys check it out. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, oh my gosh, we have Ronaldo Hardy from CU Strategic Planning, not only a great person in our industry, but a friend as well. So a friend of the show, and it's been too long, Ronaldo. We were just talking before the recording. It feels like two decades since you've been on, so it's good to have you back.
I'm so glad to be here. I know it's going to be a great time and a great dialogue.
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah. You guys there at CU Strategic Planning are always pushing that proverbial envelope in one direction or another. And you guys are at it. You're at it once again here with DEIBA. And that acronym stands for Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging and Accessibility. So you guys have added a couple of letters to this acronym, and I can't wait to find out what's going on here. So without further ado, as they say across the pond, what is DEIBA, Ronaldo? Give us a quick summary on what it's all about.
Absolutely. So, of course, we've been here in a conversation for the last couple of years on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Yeah. And so, you know, those many people are exposed to it now. Some people are still kind of trying to understand it. I always tell people to understand it with food because I love food. You know, I'm from Louisiana, and if we don't do anything else good in Louisiana, because I know we're not at the top of many lists, but we can cook down here.
Yes,
and
you so, can.
One of a great way to understand DEI in particular. With gumbo, and I'm going to get to the B and the A.
Okay. Well, I'm stuck at gumbo.
I mean, yes. And do understand this, you know, to do this the right way, I'm going to have to talk about it in the right order, okay. Which is actually diversity, inclusion, and equity, but that spells die, right?
Yeah, we don't want to do that. Let's switch.
We don't want to say that. Diversity is very simple. Diversity is just literally the representation of difference. That's it. Difference is present. It's not specific. It could be based on race. It could be based on gender. It could be based on political affiliation and preference. It could be based on a number of things, but diversity at the core is simply the representation of difference. Now, if I bring that to gumbo, it's like getting the ingredients that I need to make the gumbo,
right,
but
right.
I only have them sitting on the countertop. Inclusion being the second step, and the most important, actually, it connects diversity and equity together. Mm-hmm. Inclusion is how I intentionally engage that difference. So I'm not just going to recognize that difference exists, but I'm going to engage it. I'm going to do something with it. I seek to include the difference, right? And of course, if I bring this to the gumbo, I don't want the ingredients to stay on the countertop. I need to make sure they are included in the pot, yes. Right? So that's what inclusion is. Equity by nature is it's the creation of opportunities for underrepresented populations within an organization, mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. In short, we call it a seat at the table.
Right.
So you know what equity is. It's making sure that there is a seat at the table that's driving decision-making.
Mm-hmm. So representation.
I've heard people say, we do well in equity. Our front line looks like, no, the equity piece is making sure that we are creating a seat at the table, especially where decisions are made.
Yep.
Bringing that to gumbo, you're not sure if you like chicken and sausage gumbo,
love it.
Or seafood, or a little bit of everything, right?
Everything, yeah.
But if it's chicken and sausage, I'm going to make sure that both are present. I'm not going to call it chicken and sausage gumbo and only have chicken there, but the sausage needs to be there, and mm-hmm. It needs to be distributed properly.
Gotcha.
Now, two other letters that are very strong in the DEI world right now, and I know some may not have adopted them yet, are the B and the A.
Mm-hmm.
The B representing belonging, which when we do this work the right way,
mm-hmm.
That should be the ultimate outcome, right? Is that if I am doing diversity, inclusion, and equity the right way,
right.
Then the end goal is I should want an individual to feel like they belong, because you could be included in something but still not feel like you belong.
Oh, completely.
So it's a little bit of a different work. It is what we're all trying to graduate towards, but creating that sense of belonging. The A represents accessibility, right? So You can't do this work the right way without creating access to areas where access may have previously been denied. In our industry, accessibility is very important. Access to credit, access to financial products that, that members may not be able to take advantage of in other organizations. It's big. And the reason why accessibility also has to be focused on a whole lot, because in our studies, our practice in this particular work, and as we've been working with organizations around this, in unconscious bias assessments that we are administering, we are actually finding that disability is the highest unconscious bias of all categories.
Wow.
Right. Which, of course, directly impacts accessibility.
Yeah, completely.
But that piece is vital.
Okay. Okay. Now, my next question here, and I think I know the answer already, but I just want to get your take on it. But what prompted the B and the A? What sparked this? Or what's the thought process behind it? Because I get it. I totally get it. Yeah. And you can't have one without the other, it sounds like. So I just want to get your take on that. So what sparked the last two letters, so to speak, or the last two concepts?
I think it's just a part of a consistent evolution. One of the things that I tell people, you know, when you are signing up for this work in particular, number one, it is going to be a multi-year journey in order to just get to a place that you've implemented it properly. Mm-hmm. One training day is not going to solve this issue.
You're right.
Cultural transformation actually takes time. You know, I tell people to commit to at least 3 years in order to see a true cultural transformation. Mm-hmm. But even within this particular work, evolution is always happening. So as the work is continuing to be advanced, then there are things that those of us who are practicing in this lane are learning even more of, which is allowing for an expansion of concepts to be introduced. And that's where the B and the A came in. Those who have been doing this work for a while, you know, those of us who have been seeing what's been happening and started to understand these additional layers that were necessary. So no, Ronaldo himself didn't add the B and the A, but said that we need to have these things, understanding that this work is not successful unless belonging is the outcome. It's not successful unless we're creating accessibility.
I totally get
that's
it.
That's how they...
Yeah, it's so logical. Yeah, it's so logical. Oh my gosh, it's right there before your eyes. So, okay, that leads me to my next question, which is taking us to a whole another level here. So tell us about the new board DEIBA Institute that you guys are launching there at CU Strategic Planning. Tell us about that. What is it and who is it for?
Absolutely. And so as we've been doing this work, one of the things that I have seen is that credit unions really struggle to get this level of information, understanding, knowledge unpacked at the board level. Mm-hmm. And the reality is there's no way to really succeed in this work without it engaging the board as well. Yeah. If the board is not directing this initiative, and what I mean by that, if DEIBA and initiatives around it have not elevated to the strategic plan level, they will not succeed in any organization, period. If it is only a training day, a training program, it's not going to be successful. It requires that the board all the way at the top is engaged. And so what we were seeing is that there was a need to create more educational opportunities for boards, but also conversation so that there was also a bit of digesting the information by cross collaboration and communication amongst their peers.
Right.
A bit of growth happens when you can sit across someone with a unique or different experience when you are discussing some of this information that is, you know, challenging to unpack. One thing we never do is dilute the message, but we will make it digestible. So I'm never going to dilute it. I don't believe in trying to make this prettier than what it is just to get by. We need to talk truth. Yeah. And so what we started to see was this opportunity or this need that existed for boards. And we were already doing much of this education at the executive level with our certification program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, it really just looked like, what does it look like to transfer a lot of what we're doing here, bring this over to the board level.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started developing this institute. And then we said, okay, you know, because we look at, you know, within this institute, it's a 2-day on-site intense kind of learning environment that we're going through a lot of instruction.
And
then there's a lot of communication that's happening. It is designed to be emotional in context at times. That means we're doing it well. Mm-hmm. But we also said that we wanted to give boards an opportunity to determine a course of direction that they want to move in. And, you know, we come in and say, let's come alongside you every quarter to see how that's moving along, both individually and collectively. So giving each individual board member their opportunity to commit to this work within the organization through personal commitment, that mm-hmm. they create their own development plan that they're going to work through, that we help them navigate through each quarter, and then collectively as a unit. And I'm just excited to see how many organizations thrive because of it.
No doubt. And as you're talking, I'm envisioning in my brain is like, you guys, it sounds like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you guys are planting seeds from the top down.
Yes.
You're planting that seed in the board where that message, that philosophy, that initiative will spread, from the top down. So that's where it all
Absolutely.
Starts, it seems like, right?
Yes, that's how you make a big impact and difference. One of my favorite clients, not that I love all of them. One of my favorite clients and success stories is Raiz. They were formerly TFCU.
Yeah.
They've been working on this journey with us for 3 years now. And they have a commitment all the way up to the board level. The board is super committed. I just left with them, spent some time in their planning session. The supervisory committee, the executive team, the whole organization. And they have seen some of the greatest transformation that I've witnessed because everybody truly is on board mm-hmm, from mm-hmm. all the way down.
Right on, right on. And give me some numbers, because I remember reading the press release, there was a 35% number in there. Can you share with us what that 35% represents?
Well, that 35% number is something that has been shared with organizations there's generally a 35% greater success rate on the bottom line as a result of diversifying your leadership teams, just a gender diversification. Even if we don't talk, ethnicity, we see increase on the bottom line as a result of it. Yeah. And that's the interesting part of all of this work is that, not only is it something that is morally right to do, which I believe we should move into it just because we are the people helping people that we say that we are.
Walk the talk, come on.
It's really good for the bottom line. You know, at the end of the day, yeah. it is proven that it will cause the bottom line to grow right. and advance. And you're speaking to someone that as a CEO, we had a ROA of 126 basis points. So I've seen
wow.
the impact yeah. of doing yeah. this in particular.
Yeah, you guys have done the research and you guys have also, again, you've walked that talk literally in your credit union, Ronaldo. So yeah, so you guys know this inside and out and it works.
Absolutely.
So what do you guys hope to achieve here? What's the grand goal here? Obviously, education is great here, but actually, I think even taking it to another level is the application of it and the daily application of it. Because you said it's initially a two-day event, but then the boards check in with you quarterly, I think, or something
quarterly.
Like that? Okay.
Yes. So we do the two-day on-site event.
Okay.
It is educational. It's very educational, but it's also conversational. It's intense, right? It is, we call it a two-day intensive. So it's intense. And then yes, each board member, they develop their own kind of developmental plan, and their commitments. And then I meet with them once a quarter to say, how's it going?
We also have
this collectively as a board, as well. Mm-hmm. And what I hope to see is that this will help our movement to continue to advance on this issue. You'll remember, I came into this conversation in our industry back at the beginning of 2017. It was not a hot topic at the time. It was not what it became with George Floyd. I came into it out of conviction because I believed that this was something that we really needed to move forward in our industry, and took a lot of risks to do it. I didn't know if I was committing career suicide, but I said, pioneers at times. That's how I felt. I got to pioneer this, and this is uncomfortable, But now I'm happy to see that we're still having these dialogues. And what I'd like to see is movement, true movement in our industry. One of the things that you'll see that I'm sharing now, and not that I'm going to be super critical of us as a movement, but I do believe that we are celebrating wins in this area prematurely, that there's so much more for us to do in the space of DEIBA. I don't think that we've advanced the conversation as far as we need to. Many organizations really are only comfortable treating this as a training program, which is way more than that. It is a cultural evolution. And if we try to advance through this too quickly, or award ourselves a trophy as an industry that we haven't earned, we will have not made any real impact. Anything that looks like a fast forward through this is not real. There's no way to step through this work quickly. It is a multi-year process. And so what I'm hoping is to really help the industry to move forward. So 5 years, when you and I are talking again, 5 years from now, when we're talking again, I want us to be able to talk about the true impact that we made.
No doubt.
There's still what it really took to get there.
No, no. Yeah, let's not hang up that mission accomplished sign too soon yet. So
exactly. you know what I mean? Because we kind of are bad at it.
Really?
Because we are the people helping people, and we recognize we're the good guys. What I have realized in our industry, whether the subject matter was innovation and progression or now DEIBA, we are uncomfortable facing the truth about us. And if the truth about us is not that we are just good because we got to be the good guys for so long, you know, the truth about us is not good. I've found that we try to rush through that dialogue and do what I call the kumbaya. We are the people helping people, when in reality, and even a part of this institute, we have to unpack that we contributed to the issues. When we look at the wealth gaps were created by both banks and credit unions because of what happened in housing for a number of decades, where communities of color were being denied access to mortgages. Both banks and credit unions are responsible for that. And then beyond that, redlining that also began to occur. Both banks and credit unions are responsible for that. So when we actually consider even our own history through the lens of DEIBA, we have contributed to a lot of the issues that we also have to correct. So we can't advance the people helping people kumbayaing too fast, because if we do that, we won't get through the work that we have to finish to correct what we also created.
And that's what I'm thinking as you're talking as well, is like, what I'm trying to teach my kids too, as well, is that nothing worthwhile is really easy. You know, you got to put in the time, you got to put in the work to get to that reward at the end. And it's hard. It's hard. So, but when you get there, it's well worth it. So that said, where can folks find out more about the Institute and then get going with it? So, because this sounds like it's something that's completely beneficial to the industry.
Absolutely. You could either visit our website, custrategicplanning.com. There is a DEIBA tab there that you can find a lot of information about what we do and offer, even other products that we do in this particular lane of work that we have. Or you can also just email me, right? Okay. So if you want to hit me up, Ronaldo H, that's RONALDOH, at custrategicplanning.com. And I'd love to speak with you.
Right on. We'll put those links in the show notes so they can get right to you. And before I let you go, Ronaldo, there was a quote in the press release that really stuck out to me, and is from you. It says, "Is this not just inviting people to the party, but making sure they feel comfortable dancing their favorite dance?" I love that. That sums it up right there, man. I love
That's it. You know, at the end of the day, you know, you don't want to have people just being in the room. In order for them to feel included and feel like they belong, they have to reach a place that they feel that they can let their complete self emerge. And that's the goal.
But that it takes a little bit of work to get there.
It takes a whole lot of work.
A whole lot of work. I apologize. A lot of work. All right, Ronaldo. Well, it sounds like, speaking of work, you got a lot of work to do. So I'm not going to keep you too much longer. But thank you so much, Ronaldo, for coming back on the show. Always appreciate your time and your wisdom and your expertise. It's greatly, greatly appreciated. And good luck with the Institute. We're going to be watching to see what you guys going to, what other big waves you guys are going to be making throughout the industry. So we're always happy to watch and happy to help get the word out for you as well. So well done.
Absolutely. You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me. It's always a great time.
Well, we aim to please, Ronaldo. Thanks again, man. Appreciate it.